This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Creative Impact. Creative Impact is produced in partnership with the Arts Alliance, and the president and CEO of that organization is my co-host. Let's say hello to Deb Pollack. Good to talk with you again as we approach the end of the year here.
Yeah, are you looking forward to the end of 2020, David?
I am, and I hold my breath as to what 2021 will hold.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the end of 2020, maybe even more so than I'm looking forward to the beginning of 2021. So are you looking forward to maybe something romantic for New Year's Eve, David?
Well, I am single at the moment, and COVID means no going out or inviting people in, so I'm thinking a bowl of popcorn and a ginger ale.
Well, I thought maybe we would take a leap and think about love, actually, David. So that's going to be our conversation. Well, I've invited an authority on love. She's also an author and a scholar and a citizen of the world. Let's welcome Dr. Debotri Dar as our guest.
Dr. Debotri Dar, welcome to Creative Impact, and thank you for making time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Debotri, gosh, where to start? You know, there's so much about your work that's really important to both David and I. Feminism, sexual and gender violence, cultural rights, women, religion, and so much more. But, you know, we're gonna talk about love, your study of love. That's what we want to explore. So are you a romantic at heart? What got you to study love?
I think that is a wonderful question. And yes, I am a romantic at heart, but then I've trained as a scholar and a feminist. So I think delving into love as a research subject is just my way to make my inherent romanticism respectable, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It does indeed. I am looking at your credentials. You earned a bachelor's in economics in India, a master's in women's studies with distinction from Oxford, a PhD in women's and gender studies from Rutgers, and now you're on the faculty at the University of Michigan. So help me out a little with your background. Academics and love sometimes seem incongruous, but what approach did you use to actually study love?
You know, that also is a very, very good question. And I think this was a question that was coming from the heart. So, you know, when we train as academics, we are used to dividing up the world and analyzing everything in discrete categories. And so we talk about, particularly in my field, we talk about gender and race and social class, talk about citizenship issues and immigration issues. And at the bottom of all of this, you know, there is this sense that I was constantly having to grapple with, that we are dividing, you know, and it's important. But at the same time, we're kind of dividing up people. And how do we then bring everything back together again? And I really, really, really feel that the heart can do what the mind cannot. You know, the heart can love. And so I feel it was just this way to sort of understand love as a political and social ethic. You know, we see a lot of times that people don't really need to have a lot of books and academic knowledge on race to love another person from another race if they really fall in love with another person. You know, and things like that. And so I think love has tremendous social and political potential. And I feel that we don't necessarily talk about it that much. I mean, interestingly enough, that whole academic field of peace studies, you know, peace and conflict studies, it's so interesting that we really study war there. We don't study how to, you know, not have war. So I think it was just my way to look at how, despite a lot of barriers and a lot of social and political sanctions and so forth, how love is played out as sort of a political and social category, what are some of the barriers, what are the ways in which we can practice both love for the other, the gendered other, the racial other, the social class other, and so forth, but also self-love.
So you're studying it from an academic point of view. For those of us that might not do that, you know, we might be thinking, and I can kind of hear some people giggling out there, so, you know, really, who needs to study love? It's something that we do sort of naturally. So how could somebody like me, what would I learn from studying love?
Well, again, that's a very good question. And I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to say in this book, and that was the vision for the book, is that we often think about love as individual choice. But if we sort of look down history anywhere in the world, there's been laws around miscegenation, or laws on how to not be with a person from another race. Sometimes love has happened, but marriage has been extremely socially policed. So the field that we have has been very narrow. And I would argue we still don't have a world where people can actually really fall in love freely with people. And so that's something that you'd learn. You'd look at the history of it. You'd look at how love, but also sexuality, desire, all of that has been policed in different ways. We know that it's very recently in historical time that same-sex love has been acknowledged and same-sex marriage has been legalized, at least here, not everywhere in the world. It's not a simple matter. It's certainly been something where society and polity have had a huge role in sort of regulating who we can love and who we can desire and how that can play out. So I think that's what you'd learn. And hopefully, as you learn all of that, you'd still stay romantic. I mean, that's the whole goal of this, you know, that we kind of don't give up on that. So I think the book is a combination of serious and scholarly work, but also sort of personal essays and so forth. So I kind of wanted to keep that balance. There's a lot of whimsy in the book. There's delight, there's whimsy, there's exploration. It's not your typical academic book.
We are talking about love with Deb Pollock of the Arts Alliance and author and expert Dr. Debotri Dar. Her book is called Love is Not a Word, The Culture and Politics of Desire. Again, this is Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. And Dr. Dar, it's a collection of essays about love, but I'm curious about the title itself. If love is not a word, what is it? So what is it?
Well, so the academic in me has described it as art, as ethic, as event, as encounter, as aporia, and finally as utopia. So it's all of those things. We've tried not to sort of define it and kind of put restrictions on how we understand it. We've kind of tried to liberate it from its linguistic and cultural confines. But that's the whole point of it, that it's not just a word. It is a universe in itself. There's all of this rich history and all of these political discourses around it and all of this art and literature and poetry around it. And so, yeah, it's more than just a word.
Your book references how the concept of love is changing in our modern world globally. If you had a time lapse of those changes, what significant things would stand out?
Well, I think in terms of changes, again, the academic in me is usually hesitant to kind of have a teleology of progress, you know, where things were terrible back then and things are better now. Yes, things are better now in some ways. We can see that in laws, like I mentioned, marriage equality, for instance. But I'm also sort of interested in looking at how oftentimes we kind of package the old and new forms. And so how even in the so-called modern world, if you will, there are, again, all of these ways in which most relationships, most love relationships still typically tend to be among people of the same race or the same, you know, social class and other things like that. Some relationships challenge those, as they always have, but a lot don't. And so I'm kind of looking, again, at how under the veneer of modernity that we still do carry on a lot of times with the same patterns. And so the goal of this is really just to make us think more critically about that and then think perhaps more romantically about the world and about sort of liberating ourselves from those narrow sort of ways of thinking about love.
Our time together is starting to wind down, but I do want to ask a final question, Dr. Dar, and that is, we were all raised on the romantic notion that love conquers all. But if you look at divorce rates, if you look at the lack of global harmony, where is there truth in that statement?
Oh, that is very, very profound, David. And I wish the three of us today could come up with a good answer to that. I think there's hope. I've always liked to believe in hope, and I extend that both to personal and to the political situation. As we talk, my parents have completed more than 40 years of, it's actually their anniversary, so they've completed, you know, more than 40 years together. My grandparents have done 30 more years than that. I see hope, and I see a certain power, a transcendental power to love, despite all of these, you know, issues around it. I think when there's true love, and I don't want to just say this about two individuals, but I think even politically, I feel ultimately it boils down to compassion, to empathy, to trying to understand the other, to trying to celebrate the other, you know, as one would oneself, with an attention to the things that are truly different and to find pleasure and joy in that diversity and that difference. I think if we move towards that, I think we can do much better.
So doing better, that takes us into 2021. And I think that's where we can take this conversation going forward. So let's look forward to 2021 and filling it with love and doing better. So Happy New Year. Dr. Dar, thank you so much for being with us and sharing this conversation about love.
Indeed.
Thank you so much.
That is Dr. Debotri Dar, and we will have all information you need to access his or her new book, Love is Not a Word, and we're going to wish you and all of yours a healthy and happy new year. For Deb Pollack, I'm David Fair, and we thank you for joining us for Creative Impact, and we'll look forward to 2021 together. And I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, your community NPR station celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.